Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Joining me today, Pat Snyder. You can tell I must be coming back from a short vacation if I'm having Pat on, because she's the easiest landing I can think of and the funnest person to talk to. And welcome back to the show, Pat.
It's great to be back.
Pat is, of course, the Suburban News Publications syndicated columnist. The name of her first book is The Dog Ate My Planner, and you're just about celebrating an anniversary of that book.
Absolutely, and I think you're celebrating an anniversary of your show, too.
Yeah, just last week.
Yeah, congratulations.
Time flies. You were one of my first guests as
well. I remember.
Jitters. I had the jitters. Tell us, the dog ate my planner. How's it gone? Have people confused it with a book about dogs, or is it
well, I've had interesting comments. The first reaction always is, "Well, you wouldn't believe what my dog ate." And so I've had lots of dog stories over the time about what dogs have eaten. Pretty horrifying. Some of them pretty funny. And actually, after I was on the show talking about the benefits of procrastination, I seemed to get a new spike in these stories, because one lady, I don't know if you remember, but she called in and said one benefit of procrastination was when she was cooking, if she waited till the last minute, the dog wouldn't come and steal her food.
Yeah, I did.
So I think it was stuffed potatoes or something like that that her dog really liked. So got lots of comments about that, and I thought, heck, we should just have a contest to see who's got the best dog story out there. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I'm celebrating the anniversary of the book.
Okay, now I've got my dog story.
Please share.
So But I want listeners, if you have a dog story, the best thing your dog ever ate, or the worst thing your dog ever ate, or the strangest or funniest, give us a call, 614-292-8513. Is that okay?
Sure, that's fine. Well, I've had a few preliminary Facebook responses I'd share with you that I thought were pretty cool. We have the Labradoodle named Brutus, who ate a sock and had to have surgery.
Oh, those are, yeah.
Those are sad.
Yeah, very binding.
Well, and some of these are kind of hazardous. We have a poodle named Basil who ate some Buckeyes. And, you know, those aren't so good for you. And Basil was not a Buckeye fan for a while after that, but he lived through it.
Wow, a Buckeye.
Yeah. Well, I think the owner was drying the Buckeyes to make jewelry.
Right.
And Basil... I thought animals knew if something was... Apparently, Basil didn't.
Well, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, obviously not. So
what else?
Then we have a Yorkie who ate the stairs. That's kind of a favorite
at
this point.
Our dog gnawed on the corner of our stairs. We kind of, when she was a puppy, she was just kind of laying there going, rawr, rawr, rawr. We thought, oh, look at her, isn't she cute? And then she got up and walked away at the corner of the stairs.
Well, the way this thing was written... it sounded like the entire stair was gone. I'm not really sure.
What did they say?
It says, she ate the stairs. This happens to be someone I know, and I have an opportunity to actually do a viewing, so I haven't done that yet, but I'm really curious. Then we have a dog who ate the corner of a bench, and one who ate some natural sweetener, and the owner didn't know if it was poisonous or not, something called Truvia. Have you ever heard of that?
I've never heard of Truvia.
So anyway.
So if there's any vets out there, you know, of Truvia or anyone.
The dog survived, although I will not take a position on whether it's poisonous or not. Maybe it was a super dog.
I'm not saying a word, right. 614-292-8513 if you want to join the conversation with Pat Snyder, Suburban News Publication syndicated columnist and author of The Dog Ate My Planner. You can also email us with your stories at allsides@wosu.org. And as usual, you can go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and post it there. We will check it out. Let's see, Amy, our intrepid producer over there through the glass, Amy Jurevich. She says, Rocky the Jack Russell Terrier ate a black paint marker, not 1 ounce of paint in his mouth, but my carpet, on the other hand, lots of paint.
Ooh.
That's my dog. So he didn't actually eat it. He busted it open and then walked away. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a sneaky attack. And I'm curious if she was able to get the black out of the carpet, or she had to put a large table over it.
Well, she nodded, but there's a story behind it. We'll get... Oh, she hired someone.
To come in and get it out. Now, well, I should mention there is a prize for this contest if people enter.
Okay.
They have till October 15 to to send in up to 350 words describing this, and the winner will get a personalized dog bowl, of course, an autographed copy of the book, and they get to have their story published. So who knows? We'll see what comes into the contest and anything that comes in today. I have a dog ate my something story myself. Okay. When I was about 16, we moved from Dallas, Texas to Akron, Ohio, which in my mind was not a great move because I had lots of friends in Dallas and so forth. So my mother tried to make it up to me on my 16th birthday by going to a French pastry shop and buying this beautiful cake. And you know the rest of the story. We went out to dinner. We came back. The top was nothing like it had been when we left. And the poor black poodle, Suzette, was so sick.
It wasn't chocolate, was it?
No.
Thank goodness.
Fortunately not. I didn't think about that. But yeah. It was like a yellow cake with lots of frosting. My mother thought it was hilarious. My father was furious at the dog.
Your entire psyche
was damaged. I was wondering if there was part I could still eat.
Pragmatist. You know, that reminds me of a story about our dog I grew up with, the standard poodle named Mimi. Mm-hmm. And my mom baked two loaves of bread, which is kind of unusual for her. And we were all very, very excited. And we were going to eat it when we came back. She had it on the stove cooling. And we had to go run an errand. We came back in a few minutes. It was still going to be warm. We get in. The bread, both loaves of bread are gone. And but there's not even a crumb anywhere. And all of a sudden, Mimi comes, you know, toddling into the kitchen, just completely covered in breadcrumbs. She was a black poodle, just covered, just smiling and wagging her tail like, hey, what's new?
Life is good.
Like, oh, no. That was a tough thing to take, you know, a bunch of kids and two loaves of bread and no more bread. 614-292-8513. If you have a story about what your dog ate, and I guess we could take other kinds of pets, too, if some people can't have dogs. But for the purpose of the contest, we're going to go with dogs. It is a one-year anniversary. How does that feel? That was your first book.
Yeah, it feels great. I had a lot of fun with it. Did a lot of speeches, workshops, still going out and doing laughter exercises and talking with people about how humor can be a way of relieving stress. It's been really rewarding because I've heard lots of stories and been able to respond to some of those with things that I thought would be stress relieving, using some humor writing techniques to kind of step back from a situation and figure out how can I make this better if I put it in perspective. So it's besides the chuckles that have been reported, which are always wonderful mm-hmm. to hear, It's been rewarding just to see that there were a few little life changes out there, I thought.
Were you surprised when you wrote the book? I mean, obviously you wrote it because you thought there was a market out there for people to read stories about coping with mm-hmm. modern stress. But were you surprised at all or in one way or another about what the reaction would be and how many people out there struggle with these kinds of things?
I was not real surprised because I'd had a lot of response from people when I wrote the column mm-hmm. And still do about, wow, that sounds like what's going on in my life. So I knew there were people out there. But what really was cool for me was, you may remember, I decided to put waiting room copies of the book out and really gave those away with a book that was purchased. So I got reports back from doctors' waiting rooms about, wow, that was really good. People were laughing. So that was an unexpected side benefit. I felt like maybe I'm helping to humorize healthcare a little bit, which we need.
We certainly do. It's better than People Magazine. 614-292-8513. And Sally, you're on the show. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. How are you?
Good.
Hello.
I really was envious of the fact that your bread actually got completed. We had adopted a two-year-old Siberian Husky from Capital Area Humane Society, and we had had him about 3 months on Christmas Day, and we're really looking forward to a pan of fresh Bob Evans dinner rolls. We had gone to rent a movie, and when we came back, there was Luke. And there were no dinner rolls. He'd eaten all of the dough balls that were available.
So
I was so afraid he was going to bloat. They were going to rise inside of him.
Any repercussions that we can share on the air?
I'm sorry?
Any repercussions that we could share? I mean, how was he?
Let's just say that there was some fermentation.
Oh, my God. In my mind, I'm seeing this cartoon of him getting bigger and bigger and bigger, like the kid in the Willy Wonka and the chocolate factory.
Well, I really appreciate the topic, and thanks for letting me share. We lost him in February, and it's good to remember with a laugh.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
My guest is Pat Snyder, Suburban News Publications syndicated columnist and author. If you want to talk with Pat or have a story to share about your dog and what it ate, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. After the last time you were on, or maybe the time before that, your old boss from the state when you worked for the job.
Donna Owens.
Donna Owens, who's the former mayor of Toledo.
Right,
and that's how
she
I got. I got to know her from being a reporter in Toledo. And she wrote me a little note that she had listened to the show and how much she enjoyed it. You know, she enjoyed hearing from you. And she said that you were one of the best leaders in her office. You're one of the best employees, one of the best leaders in her office. And I'm just wondering, what do you think, you know, makes. What was it about your leadership? You know, how did you? What do you think was impressed her so much that people weren't, you know, walking into work with torches and pitchforks every morning? Or what's your measure?
Well, I can't speak for Donna on what worked for her. I have to say she was very generous in allowing me to be a very unconventional leader. She decided it would be a great idea for all the lawyers in the Commerce Department to be centralized, and that I would get to manage them, which was sort of like herding cats. It was an interesting experience, and we decided that we would do some team-building exercises, and I decided that people would benefit from having a toy box in my office, and we should... The conference room, as I recall, we had kites hung from.
This is like way before the dot-com revolution, where they had all the basketball nets and the... Yeah,
right,
yeah, okay, all right.
Right. So I think I had a lot of fun there. And I was gratified to see when I went back several years later that I had dispersed my toy collection to other people.
Uh-huh.
And some of them still were holding on to their toys and using them for stress relief. So I thought, this was fun. I think we had a good time together, and that helps a lot in leadership situations. And actually, interesting you should mention this, because that position has kind of led me into the next thing that I am working on, which is to work with lawyers about having better life balance.
Let's get to that after the break. I think that's going to take more than 60 seconds.
Okay.
So let's take the break.
But I give her full credit for giving me the chance to play around with this and
get to
be a leader in my own style.
When we return, we'll get to those phone calls. We still want to hear what your dog ate. And if you'd like to email us, allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
On Talk of the Nation, we like to be clear about what we're talking about, whether it's movies.
A B-movie was a movie that was made specifically to be on the bottom half of a double feature.
Or the auto industry.
One mid-level executive at a top automaker told me, well, 30 years ago, we were a car company that would occasionally lend money to our customers, and now we're a bank that makes cars.
Talk of the Nation, clear, straight, open, from NPR News.
And Talk of the Nation will be here from 2 until 4 on today's edition of the program. Melinda Gates and Jeffrey Sachs join Neil Conan from New York for the United Nations General Assembly in a discussion about how to reduce poverty and improve the lives and health of billions. That's on Talk of the Nation at 2 on WOSU.
Support for WOSU comes from The Other Paper, Columbus's News and Entertainment Weekly, on newsstands every Thursday and online at theotherpaper.com.
65 degrees in downtown Columbus at 10:20. A mix of sun and clouds today, a high of 78. All Sides continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest is Pat Snyder. She's the Suburban News Publication syndicated columnist and an author. Her book is The Dog Ate My Planner. It's about coping with stress and busy lifestyles in Ohio these days. So the Dog Ate My Planner, however, elicited lots of stories about what dogs ate from Pat's readers. That's what we're asking for now. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And William, you're on the air. It sounds like you have a little bit of a scary story.
Hmm. Well, we didn't have any adverse effects from it, but right before Christmas time, I bought my kids these little advent calendars, you know, with the perforated windows, and left for the work and came back, and the calendars themselves were not really chewed up, but each window was open up and the chocolate scooped out, 48 windows of chocolate.
Very religious dog. Just couldn't wait.
I guess so.
Although it's the kids, it just acted on the kids' own impulses. You know, that's what kids are like. But what happened to them?
Nothing. The dog was fine. She didn't have any adverse effects at all, but she was looking very guilty.
Here's my theory about that, because I'm allergic to chocolate. And I'm not quite sure how the allergy manifests itself, but I think a lot of what we call chocolate isn't real chocolate anymore.
Oh.
You know, so it doesn't have that same effect as maybe giving your dog a, you know, bar of cooking chocolate or something. Because chocolate's supposed to be poisonous.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So, well, William, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
And I'm glad the dog's okay.
Yeah, I'm glad the dog's okay. 614-292-8513. Okay, Nancy, we're going to take your call. Nancy, you're on the air. Keep it clean.
I'm going to try. Okay. I'm enjoying your show this morning.
Thank you.
I'm calling to tell you about our dog, Ollie, who is literally pushing up the daisies now in the backyard, but not because of his bad habit. He was a fun dog. He had lots of great tricks he could do, one of which was he could say hubba hubba.
Ooh, was he trained to do that, or did that come naturally?
We caught him saying it naturally, and we trained him to say it on cue. So.
I see.
But he did have some bad habits, and one of them was he would eat underwear. And this was especially mortifying if we had guests come. We had to tell them about this and tell them to keep their suitcase zipped. And we forgot one time, and my daughter should have known better. She came back from college and left her suitcase on the floor, and he probably ate 5 or 6 pairs. And he was not a big dog. He was about 30 pounds. And let me just say, walking him for the next week was very interesting.
So he didn't just – he consumed.
He consumed them.
Wow.
Didn't matter if they were old, new, used, unused. He just had a taste for
them. Had a thing for that Fruit Loom band or whatever.
Well, I hope to hear from you in the contest. You really should share this along with other people who are calling in. If you go to www.patsnyderonline.com and send me a message with your story, it will be part of the entries, and it's
a
good one.
I will definitely do that. Thank you.
Great. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Nancy. Any tips for folks who don't usually write and, you know, how you might suggest they kind
of... Well, it has a limit of 350 words, and so I just think the story of what you saw and what you thought and whether this was a habit or a one-time spree and the consequences, all of those things would be really great. The essence of this is not writing skills so much as story.
Right.
And so don't be intimidated if you're not a professional writer. I just think people love to hear each other's stories.
It's the plot.
Exactly.
614-292-8513, and Tom, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning. I just love your show. I listen to it every morning.
Thank you.
You know, we have animals in our house. I have an Australian Shepherd. His name is Tux. And I have a stray cat, which her name is Nimrod. And Tux is black and white, and Nimrod is black and white. Well, Tux was there before Nimrod, and anyhow, you know, introduced the cat and dog together, seemed to get along fine, and I come home from work one day, and I see Nimrod in Tux's mouth just laying limp, and I go, oh, my God, he's killed the cat.
Wow.
I said, Tux, drop him. And he drops the cat, and the cat gets up and looks at me like, what's the problem? and I couldn't believe what was going on, so I watched him, and the cat would rub all over Tux's face when he was laying down, and that was cue for Tux to take the cat in his mouth. Tux would walk over to his, with the cat in his mouth, over to his carpet, lay down, and gnaw on the cat, and the cat would purr like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, my gosh, so they had a little game going.
Oh, yeah, and come out soaking wet. Well, one day I put a pizza up on the counter, you know, that I was going to, you know, eat a little bit later on. I had some things to do, so I put it way far back on the counter, so, because Tux loves pizza. All right, and so I put it back there way far on the counter, and I come back into the house, and the pizza box on the floor. Tux is in his cage looking guilty as ever, and the cat's over there by him, too. And, you know, I get mad at him. I said, you knucklehead. And, you know, I make some sandwiches and stuff. And so another night, you know, we had pizza, and I put the leftovers up high on the counter back away, and I'm doing some paperwork, and I hear this, you know, scraping sound. And I go back around the hallway into the other end of the kitchen, and I see Nimrod pushing the box to the counter to Tux.
Co-conspirators.
Oh, that is
put
great.
Put her head down just like a bulldozer.
Like a workhorse or something.
Yeah, yeah. And would push it and push it, and Tux was just sitting there waiting.
That is rare cooperation. Teamwork.
Oh, I'm telling you, they love each other. They love each other. But, you know, that first day when I walked in and saw that cat hanging all limp in his mouth, I said, oh, my God. I'll let you guys go and have a wonderful day.
That's a great story.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll take another call before we get to that lawyer, the lawyerly talk. And, Len, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Well, hi, Ann. Yeah, this is Len, and I'm the husband of another Ann Fisher.
Oh.
Pretty cool. But anyway, I want to tell you a story about when I was a teenager, we had a German Shepherd. And the guy across the street was a hunter, and he came over very proud with about 6 or 7 pounds of venison. And he's coming through the gate, closed the gate behind him, and here comes a German Shepherd, sees her around the corner, jumps this guy, takes the venison, and gets all over the place. He eats about 2 pounds and threw up. He ate about 2 more pounds and threw up, and he kept doing that till it was all gone.
Jeez.
And this poor guy, he was so proud that he was bringing us this venison, and it was gone, and the yard was a mess.
Oh, I bet.
Gosh.
And that's the story.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Surely.
Thanks, Len. Take
bye-bye.
Care. And if you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513. You're listening to WOSU 820, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest is Pat Snyder, Suburban News Publication syndicated columnist and author of The Dog Ate My Planner. Now, you said you've decided to coach lawyers who want more balance in their lives. Wow.
Well, I think it's a natural for me.
Like these $80 to $100, I mean, 100-hour-a-week type lawyers, those kind?
Well, whoever feels they need more balance in their lives. I wasn't working those kinds of hours, and I felt like I needed those. That's an interesting thing. You know, I wrote a column pretty much about my personal life being out of balance. I never really talked about the professional side. But as a lawyer, it is tough sometimes. You know, it's hard to be in control of your schedule, even in a government agency setting at times. But I remember as I was hiring lawyers for our agency, how many people were coming in from large firms just because they were looking for more balance in their lives. So I decided this is something that is a good fit for me, and I would love to listen and ask the kinds of questions that would help people figure out maybe a happier way of practicing law. Apparently, a huge need for it. There's a new book that came out just this year called The Happy Lawyer.
Huh?
And it did not talk so much about happiness. There were some really concerning statistics about firms losing about a fifth of their associates every single year.
Wow.
Women having twice the attrition rate at private firms as men. And that at big firms, they cited 37% quitting in the first 3 years. And so that actually led me to talk with some people in town and figure out what's going on, and discovered, interestingly, at OSU Law School, one of the professors, Deborah Merritt, has done some work with law students to show how they're taking a test called StrengthFinders to identify their talents. Could be a good link to figuring out what practice areas might be suitable for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's very exciting. We've had some preliminary discussions about how maybe this could apply to lawyers as well. And her focus, too, was how to get through law school with your particular talents. So it's an exciting area. But it led me to go back for training, which is something I was hoping we could talk about a little bit. I want to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Returning to school after 50, which is a real adventure. And more people are doing it. We have a program coming up tonight that the Transition Network of Central Ohio is having mm-hmm. at the Worthington Library, a panel of women who have done this after 50. Mm-hmm. And with apparently very satisfactory results. I think it's a trend that women are doing this, certainly in our chapter, more and more. So we wanted to have people share their success stories.
Why do you think they're having a lot of success?
In going back to school mm-hmm. after 50?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, they were motivated to do it. The economy certainly makes us want to return and keep our skills sharp. Women tend to enjoy going to school. I think last year there were women earned more doctorate degrees than men did for the first time ever. There's kind of a trend that way.
Wow.
But we've got some folks who have successfully gone through all the way from a PhD program at 57 to pharmacy certification and licensed massage therapy certification.
So it's not just sort of dilettante pursuits. It's
this is serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have the licensed clinical psychologist on the panel, Ann Krosky, who went back at 57. Gail Patrick, who became the certified pharmacy technician, and interestingly did that after being downsized from, she says, 30 years of practicing poverty law.
Wow.
I know. And Carol Oswald, this is the, in my mind, the left to right brain journey.
Uh-huh.
She was a techie and a management person at IBM and decided to go back to get her license for massage therapy.
And these are all people who have succeeded and achieved their goals.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the greatest challenge, do you think?
Well, I think a concern, even my going for this coach's training a couple weeks ago in Boston, I thought, oh, great, Boston, that's intimidating to begin with. Everybody's probably from Harvard. Actually, a couple were.
Uh-huh.
But being with younger people, there's this perception, will I be accepted? You know, will this go well? And I had a wonderful experience, and I think many women have found that they do. A good way to test drive it is to participate in Program 60 at Ohio State, where you can go and listen to a class. You can audit, but you don't have to pay the tuition.
But you have to be 60 years old.
You have to be 60 or more.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's a great experience. If the instructor has space and is willing, it's a way to be in that environment and think, you know, is this a good fit for me, or would this feel intimidating? The brain research shows really that from 40 to 65, that's a real optimum time for learning and wisdom.
So, I find that very encouraging.
I think so. And if you do physical exercise and also laughter, I'm sure the brain's in even better shape.
Yeah, the trifecta of good things to do for yourself.
That's right. That's right.
614-292-8513 if you have a story to tell us about what your dog ate, or if you just want to talk to Pat Snyder. She's with me today. Pat's the Suburban News Publication syndicated columnist. You're probably familiar with her, and she's also written the book, The Dog Ate My Planner. You are doing, this is what I cannot wrap my brain around, a webinar laughter session for home office employees of Nationwide Insurance. You did that in August.
I did it in August.
Number one, whose idea was that? And was it somebody like does webinars all the time? Or how did that work?
Well, it was a first for me.
First, define what a webinar is.
Okay. Well, it's a way of taking a training session, which might normally be just face-to-face, and allowing more people to participate in it. Sometimes webinars are strictly over the web. You know, you get these things about an online mm-hmm. webinar, and you participate online. But here, what they did was they offered this laughter session to any of their employees as part of a health and diversity and inclusion presentation. They were celebrating Interfaith Month. And so I envisioned it would be the usual. I would go show up, talk about laughter, lead some laughter exercises. We'd do some kind of fun stuff. It would be a good team building exercise. And that was true, but I realized we were on a slightly different path when they called me a day or so before and said, we need you to send us your PowerPoint. Well, I don't do a PowerPoint for laughter exercises. I thought, oh, my. And then it got better when I said, well, you know, we really don't need it. And she said, yeah, we kind of do because people also registered for this as a webinar. And so I'm thinking, so how does this work? People are in their cubicles, you know. But it actually was pretty cool. The PowerPoint had the basic, which they helped me put together.
So you were actually there.
I was there with a room full of people who were doing the usual. We were running around like runaway lawn mowers and roller coasters and laughing and doing fun stuff.
Uh-huh.
But then remotely, people at their desks could see, for example, well, they could hear what we were doing. And they could see the words to the national anthem for laughter. And sing along if they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got a picture of all these people in their cubicles. I don't know. But it led me to think, you know, if we had been able to go one step further and actually have on your computer screen not only the words to the anthem, but what we were doing down there,
uh-huh.
then you actually could have people doing exercises in different places.
Were you getting questions or comments from people remotely?
No.
Okay.
No.
So it wasn't two-way.
It was either one way or no one had anything to say.
Oh,
I'm not
okay.
sure.
Sorry.
But it was a great session. The in-person part was just spectacular. Those employees were wonderful. Two of them did the best laughter greeting for each other I think I've ever seen in any of my sessions. They were just great. So hopefully the laughter continues at Nationwide.
We have an email from Jim. It's about your lawyer training. We see quite a few recovering lawyers who are making career transitions to completely different fields. Since there are, quote, too many lawyers, end quote, it is not surprising that many of us, myself included, who have found much satisfaction, success, not monetarily, and happiness in other fields.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And I think that's certainly one option. I think there are many crossovers from the practice of law into other fields, and lawyers who really evaluate what their talents are, what their passions are, may very well find themselves in another field, which is great.
Is it possible, though, that the way law offices and big law firms operate isn't necessarily optimum? It might feel like it's optimum
when you
work people to death, but it's kind of like not.
Well, the positive psychology field, which is really emerging, has done a lot of studying of law firms, and one of the conclusions is environmentally it's a win-loss mentality. Traditionally, either you have a winner, you have a loser.
Mm-hmm.
If you hire a lawyer, you really would prefer that they win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the thing. And so part of maybe having a more balanced life is learning how to shift gears from that sort of way of thinking at work into your home life, where win-lose isn't necessarily the best way of communicating, for example, with a spouse. I don't know how many lawyers I've heard or spouses of lawyers say, stop talking like a lawyer. You know, you don't have to win here. And so part of life balance, I think, is being able to make that shift. Part of it is certainly finding the best spot in a firm where you're really a good fit, because firms offer all kinds of different types of work. And if you're somebody who likes quick action, for example, injunction work might be great for you, but not if you're someone who likes to sit back and do a lot of research first. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot, I think, that can be done in terms of hiring practices and also just talking with lawyers once they have been hired within a firm to make things better.
Okay, we have to take a break. My guest is Pat Snyder. If you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Developed by WOSU Public Media and the Columbus Metropolitan Library, ColumbusNeighborhoods.org features over 30 neighborhoods in and around Columbus and allows users to tell their own stories, post their own photos and video, and contribute to the collective story of Columbus. To be a part of this multimedia public engagement project or to learn more, visit ColumbusNeighborhoods.org.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. Thanks for joining us this morning. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, we'll discuss the joys and challenges of parenting for families right here in Central Ohio. In the studio will be Columbus Parent Magazine editor Jane Hawes. That begins at 11 on WOSU 820 NPR News. And it's 66 degrees in downtown Columbus at 10:42 this morning, a mix of sun and clouds today, and a nice day with a high of 78 degrees. Evening clouds and then skies clearing during the night, a low right around 60. Sunny for Tuesday and a warm day with a high right around 88. And then looking ahead to Wednesday, there is a slight chance of rain for Wednesday. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest is Pat Snyder, Suburban News Publications syndicated columnist and author of The Dog That Made Planner. We're interested in your stories about what your dog has eaten, and I'll share my disaster story if you share yours. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Mary, you're on the air. You want to talk about going back to school. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yes, I encourage contemporaries to think nothing of going back to classes at Ohio State at any age. As a very mature adult, I went back to finish up my degree. I didn't have anything else, you know, serious planned, and I thought that would be a good thing to do. And I noticed that the big difference between me and normal undergraduates was the fact that adults of serious age always wanted to have their exams after the weekend, after the holiday, et cetera, et cetera, where the typical undergraduates always wanted their exams before.
I wonder why that was, Mary.
that was the only big difference between us, and I would encourage people, now I'm well over that 60 mark, and I have taken advantage of being able to go in and sit through a class. And I would encourage it. It is wonderful.
When you do that, Mary, do you feel like you can participate in the class?
Absolutely. Okay. And sometimes I have been singled out. One summer I took a course that related to, I forget the exact name, but American music, started with Stephen Foster and came through. Who was the guy that played the guitar at that big get-together where it got all rainy and muddy and awful?
What, Woodstock?
Yes.
Jimi Hendrix?
Yes.
Wow.
Good for you.
Whoa. It's all downhill from here, Mary.
It was a big, big class in an auditorium, et cetera, et cetera. And the instructor played Jimi Hendrix playing the Oh, I forget what it was.
The national anthem?
I think that was what it was. It played. And he,
I've watched the documentary.
He walked up and down and up and back and forth and back and forth. And when it came to a close, he turned around and singled me out and asked me what I thought of that.
Uh-huh.
Because I was by far.
Why do you ask?
The Elvis there, and expecting me to go on a rant, you know, about it. And I, but fortunately, I happened to work with a group of young people, and one of the kids that I particularly liked brought in a Jimi Hendrix CD he had just bought and said, here, this is one of my favorite, you know, and take it home and listen to it tonight. And I took it home and listened to a little bit of it and turned it back to him the next day with, this is just not my cup of tea. And he says, oh, you know, you keep listening. So I honestly, God kept listening. He got to me.
Did you get to like it?
Yeah, I got to.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
good.
You know, this is really interesting. Now, how does he accomplish this, that, and the other, you know?
Right.
And when, and so I could, with a perfectly straight face, that, well, you know, and I critiqued it in a perfectly straightforward way. So he lost out on this, on the expected rant.
Right.
That's wonderful.
That is wonderful.
But I would encourage people. I had intended to go back to school if it weren't for surgery coming up. And starting with Geography 101 and taking every blessed geography course. That was one of my new projects that I was going to start this fall. But I can't because I'm going to have scheduled surgery and I'll miss too much.
Well, after recovery, you can put it on your bucket list.
Yes, absolutely. It's so wonderful to go back and hear things that you've never heard before. Or, you know, I dropped econ 3 times when I was a typical undergraduate. Now I would like to take some econ courses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So people change and your interests change. So... go do it.
Go for it.
Yes.
All right, Mary.
Thanks for the inspiration.
Yeah, good luck with the surgery, and hope you can get back to it.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org or go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. But, Barbara, you chose the telephone. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What's your story? You went back to
What's
art school.
What's my story?
Yeah.
Well,
you're on.
I am an old friend of Pat's. She met me at a. I'm from Salt Lake City. Pat, you know who I am.
I do, Barbara Pence.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, my story is that I have gone back to school and in an art academy. I'm 65 now, and I started at this local art academy by it's being run by a really fine young artist. He's only 34 years old, or 35, and, you know, which is humbling to me at my age, that he's a young man who has only been painting less time than I have, because I've been painting for, well, since, I guess, I go back a ways. I was a hobby painter while I was a banker, and then left that job as a banker when I was 50 to paint full time.
Wow.
And I had achieved a degree of a proficiency, and I had been selling some work at galleries, but the recession came along, and I never had formal training as an artist. And this opportunity appeared about 2 years ago, and so I've been attending this academy for 2 years and plan to finish up in about 8 months.
And you are a wonderful artist. What, if you want to share the link to your website, it's very inspiring.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you to suggest it. It's www.barbarapence, that's spelled B-A-R-B-A-R-A-P, as in Peter, E-N-C-E, just www.barbarapence.com.
Okay.
You for a while were journaling by doing a piece of a drawing or something every day, weren't you?
Yes, I started a project about 3 years ago of that's a trend that developed back then. I don't know where it is now, of doing a painting a day. And yeah. People were selling those paintings on the web. So I did that for a little while and sold some of those paintings on eBay, actually.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I thought that was
a way
cool.
to develop. Yeah.
In your classes, are there other people?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Actually, they're not really classes. There's a curriculum that each of us is following independently.
Okay.
There are only about 11 or 12 of us. There's one person who's older than I am. She's 71. And there's a fellow who's in his 50s and a woman who's in her late 40s. And everybody else is a 20-something and pretty much a young 20-something. So it's been a real mix. And the fun part, a real fun part for me, has not only been the learning, which has been tremendous, but to be going to school with these younger people. And, I feel more up to date on what younger people are thinking about and talking about, and they think I'm kind of cool because I'm doing what I'm doing. And they ask me questions about things. Somebody asked me, what did I think is the most important thing that had happened in the last 20 years? Like, you know, I was going back to the beginning of time or something.
And, since they were born.
Yeah, exactly. So they ask, you know, they're curious about things like that. And they ask me these questions that I think are such common knowledge kinds of things. But to them, I'm filling them in on information that they don't even know about. And I'm kind of shocked that they don't. But
I'm actually doing a show about that tomorrow.
Oh,
about, yeah, I can't remember the name of the list. Maybe one of my producers can pop that over the mindset list. And I'm going to be talking to the authors of the mindset list, and it's about, we'll be talking about the class of 2014, but it could apply to any class, about when they start college, what's their mindset? In other words, have they ever lived without computers? No. These kind of things in their life that date them and the things that they don't know about, you know, what maybe the way we think of TV dinners, for instance, maybe that's not, you know, it just goes on and on. The list is freaky and fun. And I hope you'll listen because I'm looking forward to talking to them about it.
Well, it sounds like fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, Barbara, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye-bye, Barbara Pat.
Bye. Do you, you know, we were going to talk about that, columnist, her name's just escaped me, but for the Cleveland Plain Dealer.
Connie Schultz?
Yeah, Connie Schultz, is written a column about TV dinners, and that's why that sort of occurred to me, and I thought it was sort of a funny thing to think about, but very true. I guess we just take it for granted that we know that that's the kind of the origin of eating food pre-made from an oven, but a lot of people don't.
That's right. That's right. It's always surprising to get one of these emails that circulates about people today at this age were never around for this and that, and it does make me feel kind of historic.
Well, it does, but on the other hand, things are changing so fast.
Sure.
There's so much more to put on that list.
Sure.
Because things are changing so fast.
Yeah, so the list 20 years from now will be mind-blowing.
Right. Then we'll really be.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you remember TV dinners? Did you use them?
I definitely remember TV dinners. The potatoes would never quite get done, you know.
Well, they'd get that crusty top.
But they'd be kind of cold in the middle.
Yeah.
Pretty bad, and I agree with her. I couldn't eat the cranberries. It's just too much. Oh, and then you read what's in them. Sometimes that's not good.
Yeah.
You can still get some, but of course you can get a very, you know, the low sodium. You know, the things that make you feel better about what you're eating.
Like Hungry Man?
Yeah.
The big ones, you know? That
huge.
Totally wrong. Totally wrong trend.
But apparently people are still eating them because they're still being sold.
Yes, you can still see them, but I don't think people necessarily think of them as...
Or the chicken pot pies without the chicken.
Yeah.
You could be a vegetarian and eat one of these chicken
pot pies. Packing through those things and like, where's the chicken?
Because if you called it a pea pot pie dinner, that wouldn't be okay.
Or a potato and
that's
pea.
That's all it's got, exactly.
If you could find the potatoes.
Carrots and peas.
Yeah, carrots and peas, right. 614-292. We just have a few more minutes left with Pat Snyder. If you'd like to give us a call, you can go 614-292-8513, and you'll be on the air with us. You have been writing about silence lately.
I have. Yes.
Tell us what's inspired this trend.
Well, I bumped into an opportunity to attend a Buddhist meditation dinner. And the deal was we would not talk till dessert. And I had no idea how powerful that would be or how odd for me, because we tend to just fill our lives with noise all the time, or other people are kind enough to do that for us. And so we actually got together, 8 or 9 of us, and we had a dinner completely in silence till dessert, when, of course, we were talking like mad about what it had been like. But for me, I thought, you know, this is kind of powerful because we're getting away from multitasking even our food. We're actually paying attention to what we're eating. And I think it's good to do that every once in a while. You know, how many times do you flip on the TV or you're answering your cell phone?
Right.
I mean, in addition to maybe having other people there that you're talking with. So we're just, we have lots of uninvited guests by default at the dinner table. And so it's kind of nice to get away from that every once in a while and pay attention to the food. And of course, what was very cool about this was it was all local food, and it was all
wonderfully,
you know, very
prepared.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
it was good. It wasn't a TV dinner.
Encouraged to think about the whole process. You know, somebody actually took the time to raise this, somebody prepared it, and so forth. Are we
okay?
There?
Yep.
Okay.
We have one more email, and then we're going to have to take off. This is from Stephen. I am a 21-year-old student at OSU. I took a sociology class called Sex and Love in Modern Society. The class had people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 60s, and it added a richness of perspective that I found extremely valuable. The instructor would pose a question, and we would get 3 generations' worth of responses. I would encourage anyone in that age bracket that can audit classes to do so, as I think it was as beneficial for them as it was for us.
Yay.
Wonderful.
I love that.
Wonderful email. Thanks, Stephen, for listening. Thanks for the note.
Can I just mention when the program will be tonight?
Yeah, it is tonight. The program tonight for returning to work. Well, women and men are welcome. It's at the Old Worthington Library at 6 p.m. It's courtesy of the Central Ohio chapter of the Transition Network. Pat Snyder, thanks for joining us again.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Same for me. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.